Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
John chapter number 4. It's a great joy to be saved, isn't it? Man, what a joy to be justified. And that's why we're meeting tonight. Because we are saved. Because we've been justified. And guess what? This world needs to hear that message. And that's why God has left us here. He didn't leave us here so we could enjoy these padded chairs. That's not why he left us here. He left us here so that we take this message to this lost and dying world. I know you're all hunkered down in your chair, so you can just stay seated there. But look at verse number 34. John chapter number 4 and verse number 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look unto the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. Let's say it together. Together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap where that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Someone might be thinking tonight, right now, as you're sitting in your chair right there, you're wondering, what is this night all about? What is going on here? What's all the excitement? Why was everybody shouting when that song was saying, I was justified? I'll tell you what this service is all about. It's a moment in the life of this church that once again, that each and every one of us will once again reenlist and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, help me not to get comfortable, help me not to get satisfied, but Lord, once again, I'm going to reenlist and I'm going to begin sharing my faith, telling others about the life-changing message that Jesus Christ brings to their life. Church family, once again, it's a call to action. That's what this night's all about. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And guess what? That's for you and that's for me. And we need to realize that tonight is a call to action. Tonight, as we look at this scripture that we just read in John chapter number 4, let's consider together 4 truths that I believe will help us and stir our hearts regarding this thought of reaching our community with the gospel of Christ. First of all, let's look at the insights into the Savior. Insights into the Savior. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. How many ever thought to yourself, boy, I wonder what makes that person tick? Did you ever think that? You just saw something, how they just were so busy about their life, or maybe they were just really committed to exercising, and or maybe they're really devoted to eating health food, and or you know, whatever they're kind of consumed with. And you look at them and you say, what makes that person tick? You want to know something? As we think about our Savior, we can look in this passage and we can discern some truths that made him tick. First of all, let's notice this, his pleasure. The Bible tells us here in verse number 34, my meat is to do the will of him. Jesus Christ, his pleasure was to fulfill the calling upon his life. Jesus found great joy. Jesus found great pleasure in doing the will of God. Yes, we've been hearing all year long about being rooted in Christ. And yes, we need to be something in Christ. But church, listen, we've been hearing messages after messages after messages about being rooted in Christ. But it's time now that you and I start doing what we've been hearing. We need to put to action the preached word that we've heard week after week after week in this auditorium. We need to start living out the truth of God's word. The Bible says in Psalms chapter number 40, verse number 8, the psalmist said, I delight to do thy will. Let me ask you a question tonight, church family. Do you delight in doing? We delight in being rooted in Christ. But listen, after we're rooted in Christ, it's time that we start living out the truth of God's word in our daily life. We see that Christ, we see his pleasure, but not only that, but also we see his passion. The Bible says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. We see here his passion. Do you know what's missing in so many Christian lives is passion? Now, we see passion on the basketball court. We see passion on the football field. We see passion on the baseball diamond. We see passion in politics. We see passion in the business world. But you know what was missing in our hearts as believers? We're missing passion. We're missing that, just that excitement, that thrill about not just being, but also doing, living out the truth of God's word. The Bible tells us, let's not be hearers only, but let's be doers, performers, those that live out the truth of God's word. We need to have that passion in our heart. And I pray that as we sit here tonight, as we ponder what this night is all about, a call to action, may we realize that it needs passion. We need to have that desire beating in our hearts like, man, I can't wait to go tell somebody about Jesus. May I say this? You did at one time. It's like that couple that gets engaged and how that girl is so excited about walking around and showing that engagement ring. She's not ashamed of it. She's not comfortable with it. She's not satisfied. She wants to tell everyone, hey, look at what happened. Man, I got engaged. And you want to say, you were the same way, and I was the same way. When I first got saved, I didn't know how to witness. I didn't know how to share my faith. I didn't know the Romans road. But I'd walk up to somebody and say, hey, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Now, we're going to teach you a little bit better than that. But, man, I was just excited about it. I was going to heaven. Hey, I was justified. Man, the insights in the Savior, we see his pleasure, we see his passion, but then we see his purpose. The Bible says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You want to know something? This church, we've had a good start. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've had a good start. But we haven't finished yet. Did you hear what your pastor said on that video? He says, I'm recommitting myself. You know what he's saying? Hey, I'm not done yet. And you know what we need to say in each of our hearts? It doesn't matter how long you've been here. It doesn't matter if you've been here 26 years, been 20 years, 15 years, or you came in just Sunday. Listen, we need to recommit and say, you know what? We haven't finished it. We have a purpose. And that is to take the message of Christ to this community. Yeah, you think about what Jesus said when he was on the cross in John chapter number 19 and verse number 30. Jesus said this, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is what? Finished. Aren't you thankful that he finished? Aren't you thankful that he didn't get sidetracked? Aren't you thankful that he didn't get weary? Aren't you thankful he didn't get discouraged? Aren't you thankful that he kept his eyes on the cross? The Bible says he had his eyes on Calvary like a flint. He was fixed. He realized his purpose. And I am thankful that he went to the cross for me. We see the insights into the Savior. But second of all, let's look at the instructions for the saints. Instructions for the saints. Look at verse number 35. The Bible says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. We see two instructions that Jesus gives to his followers here. He gives us a negative and a positive. Okay, so we're going to look at the negative first, okay, class? All right, the negative is this. Don't solicit your excuses. Look at what he told them. He said, now listen, guys, say not ye. Hey, don't give me the excuse that the harvest is not here. Don't say the harvest is not coming until 4 months from now. You want to know something? We offer some pretty good excuses, don't we, sometimes? Oh, I'm tired. Brother, first, I'm kind of shy. I'm kind of reserved. Hey, we all can say that. We're all kind of reserved in our personalities. We're not all just ready to kind of jump out and talk to people we don't know. I mean, but we need to realize we shouldn't offer these things. We shouldn't offer, well, I'm too busy, or man, I went out, you know, I've been going out for 20 years now, it's someone else's turn. Well, I tried, but it doesn't work. Let's remind ourselves, Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in due season, because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I remember about 2 years ago now, received the email from one of our ladies in our church. Not a staff member, just one of our faithful ladies. If I mentioned her name, you would know her. She might even be sitting right next to you right now. She sent me an email. She said, Brother, first I just want you to know what took place today. She says, I went out soul winning today. I was able to talk to somebody, and I was able to open up God's word, and I was able to share the gospel with that person, and that person got saved. And then she said this. Well, first, you wouldn't realize this, but I've been going out, and she mentioned the length of time, about 10 years. See, I've been going out for 10 years, and I've never seen anybody saved at the doorstep or in the house. See, I've seen people saved here at the church, but I never saw anybody saved at someone's house when I just knocked on their door. She said, I am thankful that Pastor and you encourage us to stay faithful in the area of soul winning. That was a testimony of one of our ladies of our church. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Listen, because we will reap if we faint not. Now, that's the negative. All right? Let's not offer excuses. All right? Let's not offer them. Now, let's look at the positive. What's the positive? We need to possess a sense of urgency. Look what he said. Look what Jesus said. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white, all ready to what? To what?
Harvest.
To what?
Harvest.
He said, man, the fields are white. They're already right up to the harvest. Oh, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 14, verse number 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in. A sense of urgency. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation I have obscured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Revelation 22, verse 17, and the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Class, listen, we need to realize we need to have a sense of urgency. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. It appeareth and then poof, we're gone. And who's that person you need to talk to? Who's that person you need to go to? In a loving way, talk to them about their eternity. We see the insights of the Savior. We see the instructions for the saints. But number three, we see the increase through our service. Now this is where it gets good. Look at verse number 36. The Bible says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gather fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and where ye entered into their labors. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. How can we see the increase? I don't know about you, but I like increase. How many like your bank accounts to increase? Amen? All right, how about when you're eating a good meal, you want that to increase? Amen? All right, we like increase. But how can we have increase? We have increase by our going. As we said, Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world. Church, we got to keep on going. This community needs this church to keep going. This church still needs to be the lighthouse of this valley. And guess what? Each and every one of you are little lights. And we need to just relight that lamp. And we need to let it shine. By our going. Number two, by our watering. The Bible says in Psalms 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Let me ask a question for each of us. When was the last time you wept for a lost soul? When was the last time, because of their lostness, you were moved in your heart? That you were moved so much that you began to weep. You saw their coldness. You saw their indifferentness. You saw their hardness. When you saw that, you were moved. The Bible says, and some having compassion, making a difference. How can we have an increase? I think we want it. But it's going to be by our going, by our watering, but then by our telling. I love Acts 5, verse number 20. I think it's in your notes. Let's all say it together. Ready? Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people. All the words. Go, stand, and speak. Church, that's what God's called us to do. To go, to stand, and to speak. If we want increase, it's going to be through our service. By our going, our watering, and by our telling. We see insights into the Savior. We see the instructions to the saints. And we see the increase through our service. And finally, the inspiration from the Samaritan. We're going to find some great inspiration from the Samaritan woman. Most of us realize that this lady was not a lady that was raised up in Sunday school. She didn't sing, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. She didn't know, you know, John 3:16. She didn't know about David and Goliath. Her background was a little bit different than that. But Jesus met this woman at the well. And Jesus had compassion on her. And Jesus communicated that compassionate love by beginning a conversation with her. And as he began to talk to this woman, she got convicted of her sin and of her lifestyle. And she began to realize that she needed a Savior. In verse number 28, we see that once she came in contact with the Savior, she was changed. For her very purpose of going to this well was to draw water. For the physical need. But she walked away with the spiritual water. That everlasting water. That never runs dry. That meets the spiritual need. The Bible says, and the woman then left her water pot and went on her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She was changed, but then she was courageous. She went to those men and said, I think this is he. I think this is the Messiah. Come in here, man, that knew everything about me. And in spite of that, he still loved me. This past week was a great week for different reasons. I'm going to close with just these two quick illustrations from Sunday. During the 11 o'clock service, as we came down for the invitation time, I noticed the family that was sitting right over in this section right here. I know the family well. And just by looking at them, I knew that there was a visitor sitting there with them. And during the invitation time, the family came out, and they came forward and prayed at the altar. And this young man was like the caboose. He was the last one. He probably didn't realize what was all going on. And so I kind of stepped in front of him, and I said, "Hi, how you doing? How can I help you?" He said, I'm just going to pray with them." And I said, "Well, let me ask you a question, though." He said, "Okay." And I asked him, I got his name. His name is Vinny. And I said, "Vinny, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?" And he looked at me and he said, "I'm 75% sure." Where do you get 75? I don't know. But then he said 75, and then he stopped for a minute. And he says, "No." He said, "50. And I said, "Vinny, how would you like to know for sure?" He said, "You know, I would." So I called Brother Graham. I said, "Hey, Brother Graham, this is Vinny. Vinny wants to be 100% sure." So Brother Graham took him out. And came back later, and he said, "Man, Vinny got saved." Just a few minutes after that, another lady came down the aisle. I'm not really sure about it. I'm not sure how she came to church. In other words, who invited her. But one of our ladies saw her, I think, in the back there. Noticed that she was a visitor. Maybe she raised her hand, one of these. But she saw it. And she was one of those sinners that peeked during prayer time. And she kind of walked up there, tapped the lady on her shoulder and said, "Would you like to get saved?" The lady said, "Yes." So she came down the aisle and handed her off. I think it was to Miss Hale. Miss Hale took her out, and she got saved. She got really saved because she came back Sunday night. And after church, you know, the one lady that brought her down the aisle, she brought her up to me and said, I can't remember her name. I wish I could. But she said, "This is my friend, and she got saved this morning." And I said, "Boy, that's the greatest decision you could ever make." I said, "That's awesome." And then I noticed this guy was standing there. And I said, "Who's this?" And she said, "Oh, he's my friend. I wanted to bring him tonight." And I said, "Well, what's your name?" He said, "My name is Alfredo." I said, "Alfredo, nice meeting you." I said, "First time?" "First time." I said, "Alfredo, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, would you like to know?" He said, "Yeah." So we sat in the back there after the service and opened up God's word, and Fruto got saved. Do you want to know something? Here it is. That saying is true. One soweth and another reapeth. And guess what? We rejoice together. Do you want to know something? You know why this church is going to be a happy place around here in the upcoming weeks? Because we're going to be sowing. And we're going to be reaping. And when we do that, there's rejoicing. I don't know about you, but I want to re-enlist. I want to recommit and say, "Here am I." Let's stand together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and how it challenges us to respond and to be a part and to be used by you, to share your message with others. May we as a church never, never get over just the thrill of opening your word and introducing Jesus to them. I pray that we would be fired up in our hearts and our souls, that we would carve time in our schedule so that we could tell others about you. I pray that you'd use us, Lord. May we make a difference in this valley for the cause of Christ. And Father, we pray that you'd work. For we know that apart from you, we can do nothing. We need you. We need your strength and wisdom and love and power. And so we ask, humbly, Father, use us again.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.